Welcome to the Podcast Rodeo Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from theschoolofpodcasting.com. This is where we grab a random podcast and see how long we can hang on. Today, we're going to be listening to Saving Elephants. You can find them at savingelephantsblog.com. Their description in iTunes goes as follows. The Saving Elephants podcast features engaging conversations about conservative values with a merciful, modern twist. Tired of political shock talk and rank punditry on your radio and TV? Curious about what conservative thinkers of yesteryear had to say about, but don't have time to read those, read some terribly long, boring book they wrote? I can't read, I'm sorry. Want to learn why conservatives still hold values of millennials for millennials today? Join us as we reignite conversationism for millennials. New episodes are posted the first and third Tuesday of the month. So that's kind of interesting, kind of a political show for millennials in a way. We'll get to it right after this.
The following is an opinion, and only an opinion. These are actual, honest first impressions. If you don't like the opinion, feel free to never listen again.
I forgot to mention the author is Josh Lewis and another brave soul, as we're going to listen to episode number 3. So fresh out of the gate podcasting, here we go. I like the blues. A little quiet. Okay.
You're listening to the Saving Elephants podcast, a place where millennials express and defend their conservative values in hopes of restoring the Republican Party. Join us as we reignite conservatism for millennials.
You know what the show's about? That's cool.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Saving Elephants podcast.
Music is a little loud now.
I'm your host, Josh Lewis, and I'm excited to have you join me today as we unpackage what conservatism actually means. Now, since we're a relatively new podcast,
we can lose the music now.
I thought it would be a good idea to try to recap the prior two episodes to bring everyone up to speed. In episode 1, I introduced the series and tried to explain my motivation for launching Saving Elephants shortly after the 2016 presidential campaign. I tried to lay out some of the ground rules for what you could expect to hear in these podcasts, the conservative worldview in light of a modern-day context, or how millennials could benefit or find value in a conservative worldview.
Okay.
And I also tried to lay out the ground rules for the three things you would not expect to hear in this podcast. Number 1, commercials. I don't get paid for this, so you don't have to endure me trying to push some product. Number 2, political punditry. We're not going to try to dissect the week's news or try to whip you into an outrage and explain how the world's going to hell in a handbasket and how upset you ought to be about it.
This is kind of long for a recap.
And number 3, these podcasts are not going to focus all that much on my personal life or my past experiences. Now, having said that, we will on occasion talk about this week in politics, or perhaps draw some story from my life to try to help better illustrate a point or make sense of a concept. And then in episode number 2, I tried to lay out the basic 3 points of Saving Elephants, which are number 1, the belief that the Republican Party is currently endangered, or that is, the elephants are in danger. That even though they're doing very well politically today, we believe very shortly that is going to change as demographics impact
and again, this
our
is getting
electorate
a little
more
long.
And more as the sort of voters that Republicans have always relied on. That would be the groups that are older, Caucasian, more rural, more religious, more family-oriented. As these groups get smaller and smaller, the Republican Party is going to suffer greatly unless it can find a way to diversify its message. The second point is the belief that even though the Republican Party is in danger in the very near future, and even though the Republican Party may have lost its way and appears to be morphing into a more nationalist populist movement than perhaps a conservative movement, that the Republican Party is still very much worth saving, and that in the toss-up between whether or not it makes sense for conservatives to try to form a third party or to try to strengthen an existing third party, or to try to stay with the Republican Party and reform it, we're of the belief that the latter, that is, trying to reform the Republican Party, is far more likely to be successful.
Not sure what this is doing for me.
And then the final point being that at Saving Elephants, we believe that conservatism is the exact thing that the Republican Party needs. We believe it needs to find its way back to those principles that have proven to be successful in generations past and are still just as relevant and invaluable for millennials today.
We're missing the why.
So that's where we left off with episode number 2, this idea that conservatism is the antidote or the recommended cure for what ails the Republican Party today.
And?
But at the end of episode 2, we really didn't do much to define what conservatism actually means. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to try to unpackage that a little.
Okay.
In today's episode, I would like to talk about three individuals who I believe were very instrumental in shaping conservatism as we think of it today.
That would have been good at the
intro.
That
would be Russell Kirk, Senator Barry Goldwater, and William F. Buckley. And in talking about them briefly, I hope to try to help us understand how conservatism became what it is today. And lastly, I would like to talk about the three branches of conservative thought.
See, again,
economics,
no why here.
Foreign policy, and social conservatism. So let's start first by trying to sketch out a basic framework to understand the conservative worldview.
Okay, a couple things. Number one, the music at the beginning. Let's first things first, consider your source. I'm a musician, so I have a really hard time listening to somebody talk over music. The music seemed a little low at the beginning, and then once you actually came on, because it was a little long, once you came on, the music got louder, I had a hard time hearing you. So either bump up the music at the beginning, shorten it down a bit, have the voiceover guy come in. As soon as the voiceover guy comes in, start fading that stuff out. Because that went on for a really long time. It was really, when you actually started explaining what the show was about, and that was one of the positives. You did a good job of explaining, welcome to the show, where we do this, where you do that. That was great. I knew what was going on with the show. But once you start getting into the content, then get to the content and fade out the music. The other thing is your recap. If you give me all the bullet points of the recap, I don't need to go listen to the other episodes. And so I thought your recap, it should have been like, hey, if you just joined us, today's episode number 3. On episode number 2, we talked about such and such, where blah, 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 blah. Here's that one line bullet phrase to get them to go listen. And I think you even went into what was on episode number 1. So what happens? Like when you get to episode 5, are you going to go, hey, on episode 4, we did this. On episode 3, make those quick and dirty. And, you know, on episode 2, we did this, and give that that kind of just a bullet point to have them go back and listen. And then be sure to tell them to go to your website and subscribe to the show, and they can get all those episodes. I was kind of surprised there was no millennial here, as much as you talk about millennials. You weren't reading. It wasn't what I would call high energy, but you weren't reading. And the other thing I would do is, and this is my background in training, I'm always interested in the why. Because remember, you got to make me laugh, cry, think, groan, educate, or entertain. And it sounds like you're going to educate me, but if you can make it entertaining, that would help. So instead of saying, hey, we're going to have Larry, Curly, and Moe and how they helped influence the creative party, you could say things like, hey, we have Larry, Curly, and Moe. One's a butcher, one's a baker, one's a candlestick maker. And I'll tell you which one's which coming up. Yada, yada, yada. You know, something to give me a snippet to where I want to stay tuned in, because now you've piqued my curiosity. Otherwise, it sounds like a high school history lesson or something. To make it a little more than just, in the immortal words of Beavis and Butthead, words, words, more words. So when you can throw in that why, if we're doing education, humans, adults need to know that why. So I just listened to a podcast the other day. This person was spewing all sorts of stuff about what he thought the podcast industry was going to be doing in the next 5 years. He didn't explain once why. And when he got done, I'm like, why would I believe any of that? He gave me no, like, this is why I think this. And so after the end, I was like, why do I care? Who is this guy? And why would I care about his opinion? So give people the why, and that will then help your argument. There's a great book called Secrets of Dynamic Communications, Prepare with Focus, Deliver with Clarity, Speak with Power by Ken Davis. This is made for people to speak on stage, but I love his section on creating content. And so when we talk about doing your recap, this would help you come up with a single sentence for every episode. hey, if you join us on episode number 3, on episode number 2, we talk about such and such and such and such, and here's why you should listen. On episode 1, and again, I don't know if I would do a recap of every episode, because by the time you get done with that, your whole episode is a recap. And then you're like, oh, well, we're 15 minutes in. I guess I'll get to the new stuff now. So keep that in mind. But all in all, I thought the audio was good. Aside from the music, you are a little far away from the microphone. I noticed that. I'm going to turn my mic up. And if I do this, right, it's still the same volume, but see how there's more room noise? Whereas if I get real close and turn the mic down, now I'm right in your head. And that is a better thing than having that weird room noise. So point the microphone at your mouth, at the corner of your mouth, not directly into it. If you're using a Blue Yeti, turn that thing on the back, the little knob to where it points at the heart, and turn the gain down, get a pop filter, and get right up on that. You can get a good sound out of that. But all in all, I've heard worse audio, but you can easily make it better. And other than that, I like the concept. Like I said, I was surprised there were no millennials. I thought there was going to be a millennial on this, but all in all, you got five. And that's the other thing we need to keep in mind. This is episode number three. So for episode number 3, it's awesome, you know, and keep up the good work as you slowly find your voice and work your way in. And again, the website, if you want to check it out, is Saving Elephants Blog with an S, savingelephantsblog.com. If you'd like to have your show right here on the Podcast Rodeo Show, it's super easy. Go out to podcastrodeoshow.com, click on the Fiverr button. There is no upsell. You'll also see while you're out there, there are buttons for the podcast review show. That's where I give you a full review, as well as the School of Podcasting. So if you don't have a podcast and want to start one, I can help you with that. It's all out at the website, podcastrodeoshow.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, reminding you to always enjoy your ride.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.